extra.
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like?
So this is where I wanted to get into, Jeffrey. Clearly I've wrote these down before the interview. So I want to go not necessarily through each of them, but I want to see how they tie together. And you kind of alluded to it there that we need all of them to have success. But in the context of sales here, we understand the role of confidence and the confidence transfers. If you're nervous about talking about your product and you nervously talk about how it's going to help someone, clearly they're going to think you're full of bullshit and they're not going to believe you. And we can go through each one of these in that manner. But the one that stuck out to me, and this is something that I sometimes struggle with. So I run two businesses. There's this business and then there's a science business. And it's all about a media company about science, called Excited Science. We've talked about it on the show before. That I can talk about all day long. I get super excited about. The sales side of things, I'm passionate about helping salespeople thrive in sales, not just hit the sales targets, but really have a great time when they're doing it and have a purpose for it. For me, that was always financial independence, to have enough money coming in from investments that my bills are covered and I feel secure and happy with my life. Then you can go and try and knock it out of the park with whatever else you're doing. So that was always my chief aim of all of this and continues to be. But how does your chief aim interact with your sales job? Does it have to be directly related to business and finances, or can you have another aim in life that you're using your sales job perhaps as a vehicle to get there with? Is that appropriate as well?
I don't think so. I think that if you develop a chief aim, it has to be focused around what you're doing 40, 50, 60, 80 hours a week. Otherwise, both of those aims will be mediocrity, and you're not going to get either one of them. You have to play ball in your own field, and you have to do it with all your might all the time. If you do that, you'll be able to achieve that chief aim and then go to your next chief aim. You know, you achieve financial independence so that you could do what you wanted to do more, correct?
Correct.
Had you done both of them at the same time, you probably would, first of all, would have taken longer. And second of all, you realize it when it happens to you, but you don't realize it while you're working your ass off. And the working your ass off is the part that's the important part of the deal. You have to wake up in the morning and be gung-ho to do whatever you need to do that day to get to the next day. Gung-ho. And you can't divert yourself. I just tweeted the other day that your phone, excuse me, your phone dings more than it rings. Now, why do I need to know, or why do you need to know that somebody just talked about you on Facebook? Can't you just wait till the end of the day or the end of the week to find that out? Or do you need to go, oh, geez, thanks. Let me give you a couple of props here. Let me give you whatever. It's just a waste of your time. And it diverts your thought process. When Hill says concentrate, what he says is get rid of diversions. You don't need to watch television at night to figure out what the weather's going to be. Where you live, it's going to rain. And it's going to rain often. So forget about that. If you go on the M highway system, the roads are full all the time, both directions. So don't bother with those things. Concentrate on you, what's important to you, and what's going to put you over the top. Focus in on that. And in the process, or the process, provide more service than you're paid for. If you can do that sincerely with your heart, not with your head, you're going to win. If you can't do that, you're going to divert yourself to mediocrity. It's plain and simple.
what does it look like to provide more service with your heart than your head? I guess we can all understand the head analogy of, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get this amount of money back and I'm going to buy this.
Right. You can't measure what you're giving. You just give it. And when you give it freely, then the world pays you back times 10. But if some guy owes you one because of what you did for them, you know, 3 months ago, they'll never pay you back. Don't worry. I mean, it's not going to happen.
It's just taking up a load of your mind share and your energy when you're trying to negate this as well, right?
Exactly. And you're putting yourself in a losing position when you measure it. So providing more service means you've done so much, you can't even remember what the hell you did. And all of a sudden, someone will call, you know, remember a couple of years ago when you, I just got this and I was wondering if you'd be interested in that. That's how this book was written. Literally. I published for the Napoleon Hill Foundation their weekly newsletter pro bono for 15 years. Never asked for a dime. In fact, that was the proposition that I made to them. I said, look, I'll do this on one condition. And they said, what's that? That you never pay me. And it just blew their doors off that someone would go that mile. And sure enough, a decade later, they called me up and said, hey, we found these writings. Would you be interested in annotating them and editing them? I go, yeah, I would. And so I made a deal with the Napoleon Hill franchise or their foundation because I was a giver, not because I was a measurer and they owed me one and any of that kind of crap. Well, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And you guys really owe me. Like, bullshit. They don't owe me anything. I didn't start it out that way. But sure enough, now my name is on the cover of a book with Napoleon Hill. What else could I ask for?
Literally. How do we, Jeffrey, let me just pull it back for a second here.
All right.
Play devil's advocate slightly. And I can paint a picture for you very clearly of me 4 years ago when I started the podcast, the sales, all this kind of stuff. High-paying medical device sales job, doing well, saved a bit of cash up. Then I moved in with one of my mates to keep my run rate down so I could, that cash would last hopefully a bit longer so I could get a business of some sort off the ground. I knew it was some kind of content business. For me to have the conversation now, knowing what I know and knowing that I put out all this free content and you know, eventually it comes back and most of the ad deals that we do, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, because I pride myself on selling them and remaining a practitioner of sales as I record this content, most of them come from inbound leads now just because the audience is so big. So
of course, of course.
But so right now, I agree. Everything you say makes total sense. But 4 years ago, when I was cold calling individuals because I had no kind of brand, a very small audience, and I was asking, you know, I was doing what you were describing of asking a tiny amount of money for more value than, and I'm giving more value than what the cash equivalent was worth of that. And I was just trying to kind of get things off the ground and get going. It's a very difficult conversation to be had there. Now, if you scale this even further out, perhaps there's someone listening who they've got kids,
everybody's got kids. I got kids. Don't give me bullshit.
I don't, so I can't use that as an example. But you get what I'm saying. Yes. How does someone implement all of this? How do they make that mindset shift when they're struggling?
You just answered it. When you started, you worked your ass off. And somehow it bore fruit. And as a result of working your ass off, you now have a bigger ass, but you now have a circumstance where you have what you wanted. You had the goal in mind, wherever you wrote it or did it, the goal was to be financially independent and to have calls coming in to give you money. Well, you don't get there overnight. You get there 20 hours a day. Did you work a 9-to-5 job? Did you, or were you?
When I started
working 20 hours a day.
I burned the bridges and went full
exactly, because you had the balls to do it. And you know the higher density of brass your balls are, the more likely it is that you'll succeed at it.
So is it reasonable to surmise then that some of this comes down to having faith in yourself that things will work out and just getting your head down?
Beyond that, having faith in yourself is a prerequisite. Having desire to do having desire to do it, that's another thing. Having the knowledge to do it, that's another thing. having other people helping you, that's another thing. So it's not one thing. It's a combination of things. And one of the reasons that Truthful Living works is because Hill goes through every single thing you need to do completely and challenges you to get out and do it. And what I've done in the book, I introduced each chapter because they're 100 years old. And then at the end of the chapter, I said, here's how you can put this into your life. I'm making it as simple as humanly possible. And people are responding to it already. This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to the GittimerLearningAcademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.